Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good
morning. I'm actually going to revisit a sermon that I had done years ago at Ridgecrest, but this time I added a whole lot more because during that time I was still kind of a beginner in preaching. So from 2002 until 2011, I went to this camp called America's Camp. And the camp was set up for kids who had lost a parent on 9/11 and also earlier than that. And I had wished that the camp had kept going for a long time, but I guess things must come, all good things must come to an end at some time. And although the reunions would happen in New York City, I just don't have the time to attend anymore because of my busy schedule. But I don't remember if it was either the first or second year, but back then I was much skinnier and a weaker individual. And I'll never forget the time that the camp had an all-day carnival that happened once a week during its beginning years. And I had had a great time at this carnival, because not only could you do win prizes, but you could also do other fun stuff as well. And the camp, the thing I took from this camp, it really stepped up to helping the orphans of 9/11 and losing a parent who was a firefighter or police officer. But one of the attractions it had was a moon bounce type of boxing ring with these oversized boxing gloves. And being the cocky individual that I was back then, I challenged a couple of my bunkmates to a boxing match inside that moon bounce, assuming that I was going to win against both just to see if I was tougher than them. And I ended up underestimating both of my opponents. The first one, I admit that he was a bit quicker than me, but he kind of was a bit better than me. But the second match was much worse, because not only was he a lot stronger than me, but he was a lot quicker than I was. And the problem was I was fighting a little too closely and just punch after punch after punch after punch. And not having any strength left, he gave me a big uppercut that just flew me into the edge of the moon bounce, and I ended up flying into a corner, and it was bad because those oversized boxing gloves were pretty heavy, and they prevented me from getting up, so my opponent had to pick them up off me and pick me up. But I also remember having a boxing match, the similar type of thing, with my brother at another amusement affair. And although I had won the match against him, I remember one of my hits really shocking him to a point where he's like, okay, you know what, I'm too dizzy, I can't go on anymore. And what I mean by that is after I hit him, the blow caused him to be dizzy and disoriented. And I thank the good Lord that now that I'm such a pacifist and don't believe in using my fist to solve problems. And the reason I bring this story up is because it's our job as Christians to stand up but also preach the gospel. And we must anticipate our opponent's every move. So I've entitled this sermon, Ready to Rumble. And today's anchor verse will come from the New Testament, the book of Philippians 1, verse 16. It reads, "The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am here put here for the defense of the gospel. And God's word is saying the gospel itself needs to be protected at all costs. Now, this sermon that I'm about to preach today is going to really revolve the idea of boxing, but it will correlate to why it relates to the image of Christ. Christ will be with us when we have to be on the offensive with the gospel. Now, I'm not saying we have to fight every point when it comes to facing the enemy, but we also have to be able to pick our battles wisely. Because if we don't use what we have wisely, that enemy will knock us out. And if you've ever seen boxing matches, you'll see when the boxer is in offensive mode, which means taking action to punch, to also endure, and movement. Now, the movement will probably be more important when I get to the defensive part, but that's going to come up later. But the boxer also has to take his shot at the appropriate time. It doesn't make sense when the boxer approaches the other person if that opponent is covering himself and covering all the body parts. He must wait for the right time for an opening. But there is a danger of being on the offensive about the gospel. And what I mean by that is being legalist, as the Pharisees were against Jesus, becoming too self-righteous, taking the focus away on following the Lord, and now we start fighting battles that are pointless. I remember last year reading this book. I don't remember the name of the book during a seminary. And I may have mentioned this before, but there's something called gunslinging apologists, in which Christians will go out of their way to randomly go up to people who are lukewarm Christians or non-believers and bullying them into converting to Christianity. And we don't use our hands or words to win against the enemy, but must use our words very carefully. And while we may plant the seed in people, God has to be the one that does the changing of the heart, convincing them that Jesus is the way is great, and also converting them into Christians is much better. As a great fighter is excellent in defeating his or her opponent, it's not just enough to be a great fighter. To defeat our opponent, we must understand their strengths and weaknesses. And we have to be aware that we should not simply use our words to win fights, but to win their souls to our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not want to fight against people, but to fight against the ideas that are contrary to the teachings of the biblical Christ. Now, King David didn't use a sword to win against one of his biggest and strongest enemies, Goliath. But instead, we see that the Lord had provided him with just some stones and a sling slot. We go to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 48 through 51, saying, "As the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground." And so we see that David had triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling slot and a stone. And before we see Goliath laughing at him, "Ha, you think you could beat me with just a stone and a slingshot? You're out of your mind." But it was the Lord that presided over him and gave him that ability to overcome his enemy. Because God didn't need to give Dave much to overcome his battles, as David knew how to fight because of his humbling himself towards God. And just as David fought what had appeared to be an impossible opponent, we don't need much to win against what we may assume as an impossible battle. Because Jesus was perfect, he knew how to win against his enemies without using his hands. I want to go to the New Testament in the book of Matthew 22, verses 15 through 21. And we see that the enemy is trying to entrap him in his own words. And we know this because it says it in the verse himself. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" That is what I call a brilliant setup question against Jesus, supposedly. Because if Jesus says yes, they'll say, "Ha, you are compromised to save your own self because you are willing to support pagan leaguers." But if he says no, then the authorities are right there to arrest them and execute them for tax evasion. But now we see Jesus pulling the rug underneath them as he counters them with this. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to entrap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius and asked him, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. And then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." We see that Christ had given his enemies a knockout that was not physical, but mentally and spiritually. He was quick, had the endurance, the confidence. He had what was necessary to win against his opponents. And the more that Jesus used his words against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the angrier his opponents became after winning. Now, the boxer Muhammad Ali would do the same thing, but he would purposely get his opponents angry to a point where they couldn't properly function and would end up winning his own battles. And this is not to say that we should be abrasive towards our enemies, but to be as gentle as possible. The enemy will attack us from every direction. And when that happens, we have to be prepared in Christ. Now we get to the defensive part. Our defense must be as equal as our offensive side is. And as I said before, movement is vital in the spiritual battle. And as I mentioned in our Bible study, the idleness is the enemy, devil's workshop. Because if we stay where we are, we're dead. That's why when we're depressed, it's not good to stay locked up in our rooms. It's better to get out there to be active, because the enemy can't pin us in our rooms, in setting us up with these words of deception. "Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. You think the Lord's going to prevent you from going to forgive you from all these sins?" I don't think so. We can have a great offense when battling the enemy, but without a great defense, we will lose. That's why it's important to have that armor of God, which is found in the book of Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you are able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And we need all these six pieces to fight our enemies, which are the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Could you imagine if during the war times in the past where you had soldiers who just went out there with just nothingness, just clothes on, no sword, no shield, no helmet? Would that be a good army? I don't think so. They'd be dead right where they're standing because they'd have no protection. And with soldiers going out to battle with physical weapons and protection, we also have to have spiritual weapons and protection, because the enemy will use deception, lies, temptations, anything to keep us away from the Lord and being unclean. He will use our greatest weaknesses to cause us to fall, just as if punch after punch, movement after movement. There's no escape from when being hit, whether it's from the enemy's fists or words, because we have to learn how to take a hit no matter what. But we also have to be careful that that hit is not devastating to a point where it causes a spiritual and a physical death. Because in boxing, there have been boxers who've died because of being overworked or been knocked out with such a devastating blow that they never recover from it. Our emotions should not be the drive that we win our spiritual battles. Only being in the Spirit of Christ that we may come out as victorious. It's important to warm up before a sport. In this case, it's better be prepared for a spiritual battle. We must be warmed up. Just as an athlete will warm up his legs, do some stretches before going out on a run or throwing a ball. Anything that involves movement. But for spiritual reasons, we should be warmed up in prayer. And it's not a bad thing to be petitioned for God, to have God petition our needs for battle and for victory. And it's possible to win against the devil, despite him knowing our weaknesses. We can endure many things that the enemy throws at us. But we don't want to be that person who doesn't move for the rest of our lives. We go to Isaiah 41, verse 13, and it goes, and it says this: "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And as I've mentioned in a past sermon, take the story of Gideon in the Bible. He's a man who is considered a weakling, a scared man, and willing to endure rather than fight. But we see in that God was able to give him that wisdom that he needed to win his fight against the Midianites. And we may doubt ourselves voluntarily because we don't believe we can overcome the battles that are ahead of us. because the enemy will use a sneaky tactic called fear, which causes us to second guess ourselves rather than be confident in our battles. And you may be battling someone who is trying to demoralize you. But when that happens, don't be afraid to call out to the Lord for help. Don't be afraid to ask others to pray for your situation. Because it's foolishness if we think we can win the battles on our own. With God on our side, the enemy will now be backed into a corner. The strongest man in the Bible, Samson, with the help of God, had used the jawbone of a donkey to kill 1,000 men. And I'm surprised that his arm didn't pop off of him after beating man after man. And like King David, he killed a lion but ate the honey out of the lion's carcass. And folks, our enemy is right in front of all of us. What is it that you are planning to win against the enemy? Are you going to just stand there? Or are you going to endure the blows? Or are you going to endure the blows and fight back? To get off your back and act. Continue to swim in the word of the Lord. Get a hold of accountability to check on you. Because we need to recognize that God is with us during our difficult battles. Know this, you won't win every battle. But the point is to be able to endure to fight another day. Don't be afraid to go to the Bible studies with people you've never met. Take the time to give thanks to God, whether you've won the battle or not. But the important thing is that you've survived another day. You don't need to win your battles the wrong way by being arrogant and being a bully, because that's not growth. That's just cheating. Then you've done what the enemy wanted you to do in the first place. And we may win battles for a short time without God, but in the long run, it's a losing battle. I know for myself that turning back now is not an option. You've gotten this far, and it would be foolishness to turn back to the world at this point. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And there may be a time when you're having a spiritual conversation with a non-believer. And if that non-believer starts attacking your views, do not bring yourself to their level by yelling and returning the favor by attacking their own character. You will likely have to use defense and offense in presenting why you're confident in your views in Christ. One of my favorite stories about Christianity is called Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And with the main character named Christian, and after he had read the Bible, is convicted about the life he's been living and goes on a journey to know the Lord. And while his family refuses to join him on his journey, he goes alone. While on the journey, he goes through hard times and endures them. And if you read the book or have seen the animated version of Pilgrim's Progress, you'll know that Christian has what looks like a big boulder or burden that's on his back. And on the animated version, we see Christian fighting some big enemies on his journey. He also has armor. He also has the armor of God to help him face his enemies. But during his journey, he also meets fellow Christians to help him keep balance. At times, he shows having little faith about being saved, but on other days, feeling rejoiceful. And one of my favorite scenes from that story is when Christian is able to defeat a demonic dragon named Apollyon, and he quotes using Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. But in the animated version, he's quoting Micah 7 through 8. As he, it seems, in the scene where he looks like he's about to lose, he quotes this, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." And with his enemy laughing at him, he throws his sword and ends up defeating the enemy. And what I like about Christian is, despite some of the times he had little faith, the Lord was still able to pull him through when it seemed impossible. And I don't want to give away the full story, but I find this theological story to be fascinating with the Christian life, because it relates to the difficulties we go through on a daily basis. And for Christian, he had to use both defense and offense when facing his enemies. So in closing, we have a battle that must be recognized and faced. As before, I said, running away is not an option. I may have lost the boxing match against my bunkmates, and I didn't run away. But it was a good lesson to learn from. What are some of the lessons you've learned from the battles you've lost? What about the battles you've won? Because there's a world out there being taken over little by little by evil. And while the world might mean well to fight back against evil, their ideas are terribly flawed. And we must be willing to fight every chance we get. So, as I've emphasized over and over, it's important to both use offense and defense, because you can't be a good fighter against the enemy if you don't have a good offense and defense. With both of those, they have to work together, or they don't work at all. We have a new generation that's coming up, and we don't want them to be given a world where everything is ruined. And every opportunity that we lost that on, evil will preserve. But today can present an opportunity to take back what is captured by evil. Always keep guard against the enemy. We must admit we will need help, because if we're afraid to trust Christ, we will lose. Let us pray.